as we navigate this season of Lent, many of us are experiencing different emotions. Some of us come here this morning experiencing joy. Others may be heartache. Some are consumed by worry, or our fear is gripping them. Or maybe some of us here even today have brought some anger into this space. But as we reflect on Lent and this season that we're in, we reflect on this time of repentance, an opportunity that we have to draw close to God. As children, we remember many of our emotions when we were just wee little bitty, and some of us had experience of an emotions of getting mad, right? And we would throw temper tantrums. Some of us that have children know what that's like, you know, just throwing a fit when we didn't get our way. And then crying when we didn't feel good, right? We had a tummy ache or an earache, we would often cry. And then experience joy, maybe when our grandparents came to visit and would dote on us. And then also maybe that emotion when we were little of sadness, when we were scared. There's a little girl, and her name is Riley, and her parents moved to a new city. And she had a mix of emotions as she was moving to this new city. And her story is told in the animated film Inside Out. And I want to share a clip with you this morning. Let's watch.
Very nice. Okay, looks like you got this. Very good. Oh, that's her turn. Oh, look out!
That's fear. He's really good at keeping Riley safe.
Easy, huh? I'm back! Oh, we're good. We're good. Ooh, thank you. Thank you very much.
And we're back.
Here we go. All right, open.
This looks new.
Think it's safe?
What is it?
Okay, caution. There is a dangerous smell, people. Hold on, what is that?
This is disgust. She basically keeps Riley from being poisoned, physically and socially.
That is not brightly colored or shaped like a dinosaur. Hold on, guys. It's broccoli! Yeah! Well, I just saved our lives. Ooh. Yeah, you're welcome.
Riley, if you don't eat your dinner, you're not gonna get any dessert.
Wait, did he just say we couldn't have dessert?
That's anger. Cares very deeply about things being fair.
So that's how you want to play it, old man? No dessert? Oh, sure. We'll eat our dinner right after you eat this.
Right. Here comes an airplane.
Oh, airplane. We got an airplane, everybody.
And you've met Sadness. She, well, she... I'm not actually sure what she does. And I've checked. There's no place for her to go. So she's good. We're good. It's all great.
We still have these same emotions today, don't we? We just stuff them down inside. And sometimes they're expressed in unhealthy ways. It's hard to be vulnerable as adults. And many times people ask, hey, how you doing today? And we typically wear this everything is okay mask. I think we all have them, right? Everything is okay in my life. We wear them at home, we wear them at work, and we even sometimes wear them in church. And today we're unpacking what vulnerability looks like and what it feels like in our lives through the narrative of the woman at the well. And this woman at the well, she led this scandalous life. We have been traveling with Jesus this past several weeks on this road trip. And last week, for those of you that were here, would remember that we were in Capernaum, right? And it was this tight-knit community. It sat on the Sea of Galilee, and it's where Jesus did the majority of his teaching and also his miracles. And then today, we're traveling with Jesus to Samaria, and it's a lot different than it was in Capernaum. And most of us, when we travel, when we head out or plug in an address into our GPS, we want to go the quickest or the shortest route possible. But when the Jews traveled in Israel, they would often take the longest route to avoid Samaria. They didn't want to go through it, so they would go around it. And the Jews, they looked down upon the Samaritans, and they avoided them. They didn't want to have any interaction with these two people groups. But Jesus, he didn't go around. He decided to go through Samaria, decided to go through it. According to the scriptures, Jesus and his disciples, they arrived into the town of Samaria. And when they got there, the disciples had headed out to buy some food. And it had been a long journey. They were hot. They were tired. They were hungry and they were thirsty. And as I said, the disciples had gone off and Jesus had made his way to Jacob's well to quench his thirst. Now, just think about that for a minute. We see the human side of Jesus, right? He was thirsty. So he had headed to the well to get something to drink. Now, people would typically visit this well in the morning or in the evening. They would not go in the heat of the day. So Jesus was there at the heat of the day, and the woman was also there in the heat of the day. We pick up in this story in the 4th chapter, 7th verse of John. I want you to hear these words as I read them aloud. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone in to town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." It would appear on the outside that Jesus was just having a conversation with this woman over a cool drink of water, if you would. But then Jesus does what he does through his conversation. He draws out this vulnerability in her and calls her out, if you will. The 15th verse says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water.' He told her, 'Go, call your husband and come back.' 'I have no husband,' she replied. Jesus said to her, 'You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have 5 husbands, and the man you know now that you are with is not your husband.' What you've said is quite true." I love this next slide. Oh, no, you didn't. Jesus just calls her out. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where you must worship is in Jerusalem." I want you to remember that prophets spoke on behalf of God. So she's realizing this is just not an ordinary person that has come to the well that she's encountering. "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father and in the Spirit and in truth. For the kind of worshipers the Father seeks, God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then we have another moment. Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." You see, Jesus saw her in all her flaws and sins, offering her the living water, and reveals who he is to her. Later in the passage, it tells us that everyone in the village believed of what the woman had said at the well. They believed what she had said about her experience, and they believed her because of the testimony that she shared of her experience, but also because they had heard for themselves. Being vulnerable is to lean into discomfort. This woman at the well was exposed, but seen and accepted because of her new faith in Jesus. I, like many of you, am proud to be an American. But as Americans today, we are a part of staggering statistics. We are the most in debt, addicted, overweight, medicated adult cohort in U.S. history. And we have reality shows that make big money because these have become things that entertain us. We have become mesmerized by someone else's struggles and someone else's vulnerabilities. Some of you may be familiar with Brené Brown. She is a best-selling author as well as researcher, and she talks about how we numb vulnerability. We try to make the uncertain certain. We want to know things for sure. We perfect. Plastic surgery has become a huge business. And we even try to perfect our kids. And when they become adults, that doesn't work out so well. You see, we are hardwired for struggle and imperfection. And in the messiness of our lives and in the messiness of our bad decisions, we find out that we are worthy of love and that we are worthy of belonging. So, how can you let yourself be seen? Love with your whole heart and practice gratitude and joy. Being vulnerable enough to say that I am enough. Connection is the purpose of our very lives, to connect with God and to connect with others. It's also the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than these. The woman at the well was vulnerable with Jesus. And she had shared all her messiness with the people in her village. You see, Jesus wants us to come to him, right? To be vulnerable with him, but also to have this connection with other people that we can be real with. For the people that you can be real with in your life. You see, God, he speaks to each one of us differently, hoping that we're going to tell each other. Some of us are familiar with this hymn or song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's a hymn we sing, and it's a song maybe we have heard on the radio, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I would encourage you this morning to find those people or recognize those people with whom you have a holy connection, these people that you can be real with, and to sing a different song. What a Jesus we have in our friends. What a Jesus we have in our friends. In Brené's research, she found that through vulnerability, we allow ourselves to be seen. Her research showed that people who were happy had a sense of peace, fulfillment, felt worthy, also had a feeling of loving and belonging, and they believed that they were worthy. They embodied courage to share their whole heart, compassion, and connection, had connection as a result of authenticity. You see, what made them vulnerable made them beautiful. What made them vulnerable made them beautiful. And at the core of vulnerability is often shame or fear or worthlessness, but also a place of joy, creativity, of love, and belonging. You see, we see this in the woman at the well that Jesus encountered. See, our well moments, if you will, all look differently for each one of us. Some of us, as we gather here at the well, are dehydrated and we're weak and our souls feel shriveled up because we're so afraid to be vulnerable. We saw that in our movie. Sometimes we keep it all inside and there's no out. Others have regular meetings at the well with Jesus. The life-giving water offers sustainability and hydration, and we walk away from that well different than we arrived. I want to share a quote with you this morning. To share weakness is to make yourself vulnerable, and to make yourself vulnerable is to show your strength. To share your weakness is to make yourself vulnerable, and to make yourself vulnerable is to show your strength. Started out my message mentioning that we wear this mask, right? And we've all got them, whether we're here, we're at work, we're at home, we're with neighbors. And it's this everything is okay mask. It may look something like this when we encounter people. But the truth is, sometimes it's not always all good. I invite you in your spirits this morning to meet Jesus at the well. To take off your mask with whatever you brought into this space. To be real with Jesus. You see, he knows what's going on with you. You can't hide it. He's just been waiting for you to tell him. I invite you to the well and encourage you to visit often this next week as we're on this road trip. To share your heart, your hurt, your shame, and your joys, or maybe your sorrows with Jesus. To have your thirst quenched with the living water. To be transformed by Jesus' love and grace. To take your mask down and to practice vulnerability in your life. Let us pray. Good and gracious and loving and forgiving God, we thank you for who you are and for your grace, for knowing our hearts before we even speak. Help us in our vulnerabilities to release the things that burden our very souls. Give us the courage to acknowledge the things that wound us, the things that expose us, the very things that bind us up and the sins in our life. We thank you that in our broken